Welcome to Season 6 of the Food for Your Soul podcast, where we apply the Word of God to the hearts of men and women to stoke the fires of your delight in Christ. This season of the podcast is devoted to the greatest sermon ever preached, the Sermon on the Mount, where Jesus teaches His people about life in the kingdom of God.
We've come to chapter 7 in the Sermon on the Mount, where Jesus begins by saying, "Do not judge so that you will not be judged." If you're a believer, all your sins are separated from you as far as the east is from the west, right? And your favor in God's eyes derives from the very favor He has for His own perfect Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. But if that's true, why does the Bible warn us about God judging His own children? Should we be afraid of God's judgment, even though our sins are forgiven?
If I stand up here and preach against homosexual behavior and say that it's sin, it's perverse, if I say abortion is murder and the world says, "Who are you to judge?" My answer is, I'm nobody, nor am I judging anything. Those things are wrong, not because of my opinion. My opinion is irrelevant. They're wrong just because God said they're wrong. The only thing that makes something good or bad is if God says it's good or bad. And if we just simply pass that information on, that's good. If we fail to pass it along, or if we twist it or pervert it, then that's wrong. So, all that to make it clear what Jesus isn't saying. He's not saying throw out all discernment. He's not saying turn off your brain. He's not forbidding evaluations and distinctions and judgment. But, now this is important, He is forbidding something. Do you agree with that? He's telling us not to do something. We don't want to just look at what He's saying here, or look at what He's not saying and breathe a sigh of relief and just go on our merry way passing judgment on everybody all the time, because there is a behavior here that Jesus is forbidding, and it's something very, very serious. You know, in a church like Agape, we actually run, this is an important passage for us, because we're really big on discernment. We're big on truth. You know, making sure that we don't fudge God's Word and God's standards and God's law, and that's good. That's good that we're like that. But when you have a church that's like that, that really highly values discernment, that we run the risk of going off the other side of the road into judgmentalism, sinful judgmentalism. And so this is something we really need to hear, I think. Because Jesus is forbidding something, and what He's forbidding is so serious, He actually gives us a threat, a severe threat. Verse 1, "Do not judge so that you will not be judged." Now folks, that should make us tremble. The prospect of being judged by God for a sin should be the most terrifying threat imaginable, if we believe He is who He said He is. Nothing is worse than having God unhappy with you. Nothing. If we are ever able to read Matthew 7:1, verses like this that threaten judgment with a ho-hum attitude, without it just rattling us to the core, that is an indication that our understanding of God has shriveled down so small that it borders on blasphemy. Nothing, I'll confess this to you, nothing concerns me about my own heart, my own spiritual life, more than how little emotional fear strikes my heart when I read about Judgment Day. When the Lord threatens us with judgment, this is a very, very serious, serious matter. And Jesus is speaking to believers here, and He warns us about being judged. If you've been taught that your forgiveness of sins that you received on the day of your salvation exempts you from Judgment Day altogether, you need to reread Romans 14, verse 10. It says, You then, why do you judge your brother? For we will all stand before God's judgment seat. It is written, as surely as I live, says the Lord, every knee will bow before me, every tongue will confess to God. So then each one of us will give an account of himself to God. Therefore, let us stop passing judgment on one another. 2 Corinthians 5:9 says the same thing. We make it our goal to please Him, for we all must appear before the judgment seat of Christ so that each one of us may give an account of himself to the Lord, so that each one can receive what is due him for the deeds done in the body, whether good or bad. Just as all His promises of reward should motivate us all the way through chapter 6, he kept giving us all these promises of reward, and I said, that should motivate you, that should motivate you. So should his threats of judgment motivate us. If we're judgmental towards others, sinfully judgmental towards others, there will be a steep price to pay on judgment day. If you're at odds with another Christian, you're holding a grudge, looking down on somebody, you're not just going to float into eternity without that being dealt with. You realize that? If it doesn't get taken care of before you die, God is going to set it right on judgment day. Everything that you've said or done that has been wrong or unfair in the whole dispute between you and that person is going to come to light. The Lord is, you know how the Lord promises to vindicate us on judgment day? And most of the time we look at that and it's a great promise. We say, oh, that's great. I'm going to be vindicated. He's going to show how I was in the right when I was in the right. Well, that's true. But that also applies when you're the one who's in the wrong. That other person's going to be vindicated, which means where you're the perpetrator, all of your sin is going to be exposed. And believe me, whatever discomfort you would experience right now by humbling yourself in this relationship is nothing compared to what will happen on Judgment Day. You do not want to arrive on Judgment Day and have God straightening out injustices that you caused. However, I should also add this. I don't see any foundation here for restricting any of this to only Judgment Day. I think it applies in this life as well. In this life, judgment comes in the form of daily discipline and training and chastisement. The Corinthians, remember, they were carrying out communion in a way that was sinful and displeasing to God, and this was the result, 1 Corinthians 11:30. That is why many among you are weak and sick, and a number of you have fallen asleep. So God disciplined them by causing them to get sick and even die. And then verse 31, but if we judged ourselves, we would not come under judgment. So that discipline of making them sick and get sick and die is called judgment. The word judgment is used. So God judges us even in this life with discipline and chastisement. Every time you sin, God has a choice to make. Should I show patience again? Or should I bring some hard consequences this time? Every time we sin, God has that choice to make, and He will always choose whichever one of those is ultimately best for you. But when we're critical and judgmental toward each other, then we create a situation in which the best thing for us is usually for God to deal harshly.
Nothing should be more alarming to us than the Lord Jesus Christ making a threat against us. Think about that. He's threatening. Jesus threatened that we will be judged if we judge wrongly. We'll explore what judging wrongly means in the days to come, but for now, just consider the threat. What is your attitude towards God's judgment? Does it play a role in your motives? Are there ever times when you choose not to do something because you're afraid of God's judgment? When we read about fearing God's judgment as His children, and then we read about our forgiveness and favored position in Christ, it can be difficult to harmonize those two realities. It's not easy, I admit that, but we have to find a way, because both are in the Bible. God is both our loving Father and our final judge. In fact, Peter mentions both roles in the same verse, 1 Peter 1:17. Since you call on a Father who judges each man's work impartially, live your lives as strangers here in reverent fear. Maybe thinking of God in terms of His fatherhood is the best way to harmonize the two concepts. Consider how a child fears his dad's displeasure, and at the same time enjoys his father's love and longs to be close to him. Talk to God for a moment about how accurate your perception of His judgment is. Have you overinflated the idea and turned God into a tyrant who's irritable, impossible to please, and always unhappy with you? Or have you softened Him down to a jolly old Santa Claus in heaven who winks at sin? Ask God to help you adjust your perception closer to the truth.
Thank you for listening. We pray that in this series your life will be transformed by the soaring ethics, deep insights, and glorious promises of the Sermon on the Mount. We are crowdfunded ministry, so if you would like this podcast to continue, please consider supporting us with a tax-deductible gift. Just go to treasuringgod.com and click on Give. Until next time, rejoice in the Lord always and set your mind on things above, where Christ is seated at the right hand of God.